Blog Talk Radio.
I'm kind of a bit stumped. WWE just produced two good quality shows in a row. Actually, three, if you count the Mae Young Classic. Hang on one second. I've just been handed a note here to review Monday Night Raw on SmackDown Live, but I already did that. But I'm just going to go over the semantics. Actually, just going to go over the shows, not the semantics. You see, WWE SmackDown Live and Monday Night Raw, SmackDown Live has been holding up their end of the bargain. It just so happens that they've become a lot edgier. And I am so happy. I've always been happy to be a wrestling fan. Do you know why? Because it sets us apart from watching things like UFC, stuff like NBA basketball. Is there a problem? Because I still watch sports. I mean, I still watch the NFL. But I want to always believe that wrestling will make a comeback. And I think, no, I know that it just did, because when Mr. McMahon basically gigged the hard way, you know, by getting a headbutt from Kevin Owens and bleeding instantly. I mean, that was one of the greatest moments that I've ever witnessed in my life. Do you know why? It's because now there's even more heat for the Shane McMahon, Kevin Owens matchup at Hell in a Cell. And do you know why that is, ladies and gents? Because there's nobody, without a shadow of a doubt, that's going to put up more of a fight than Shane McMahon will at Hell in a Cell. And I'll just say it. Screw the other matches, because you're not going to find any other pay-per-view that's going to be more enticing than Hell in a Cell. No Mercy, yes. It has the intrigue of a one, the only John Cena versus Roman Reigns. And I'll give it this. Everything that you can think of possible, whether it be the intrigue for a promo, the intrigue for, I don't know, just watching wrestling now. I mean, I'm kind of at a stop and stare kind of moment. Because I had to do some double takes, ladies and gents, by figuring out how did this come about? And is it a bad thing that WWE is having great programming? Because Lord only knows, you can see stuff like Ring of Honor. You can watch Evolve on Flow Slam Network. But what's the commonality here? What's the main thing that's been keeping people interested? If their all-around wrestling is great, not just one product versus two, and I'm talking about NXT. You see, the mathematical equation of this whole deal is you saw some great wrestling, great programming, and that's a first, because WWE has had quality programming, just needed some tweaking here and there. Now, Here's the fun part. Whenever you tune in to WWE Raw, you think, oh, cripe, 3-hour program. And you think, there's no way in hell I'm going to get through this program. There's no way. Then you turn on the very first 45 minutes of it. You have an awesome 30-minute match between Jason Jordan and Roman Reigns. If you don't count entrance fans, I guess it's under, 30, but who cares? What are you looking at, quality or time, or are you looking at something else? Because there always tends to be something that the fans pick at, nitpick at. And I got to say, it is late at night. It's kind of an up-and-down day. But what really made me feel good is rewatching this stuff on Hulu, because I watch it on the USA Network. I rewatch it so that I can get all the matches written down. And I must tell you, instead of Paul Heyman being the highlight of the night, wow, John Cena and Roman Reigns made it to the highlights of the night for Monday Night Raw. Monday Night Raw, not Runday Night Raw. Not Scooby-Doo. Here's the fun part, ladies and gentlemen. Wrestling has gotten interesting again, not just because WWE is back on the map, adding little parlor tricks here and there, are we? No. What you're seeing and witnessing is the majesty that is pro wrestling, where it comes full circle, where the promos are great. People are intrigued to watch your product. And it's not a bunch of bullshit where guys are just standing there talking for hours, reading from a generic type of, piece of paper that gets written for them by executives and producers and all that crap. No, what you guys are reading into is finally WWE is giving the fans a taste of what could be. What I mean? Raw and SmackDown Live plus the Mae Young Classic equals. Let's give them something to talk about. So that seems to be the common theme that you hear from other podcasts is that, they did this just to hear people squawk about, this. Well, I wouldn't know what this is, but, it's a good guess. Your guess is as good as mine. What are they trying to get us to talk about? What is the goal of WWE in general when they're trying to get us to talk about something? I don't know. I honestly could tell you or try to accentuate things here and say, well, they want us to think like this. They want us to be lulled into a false sense of security, which again is a cock of shit because obviously they're doing their job. So there's a lot of things that go into making a great show. One of those things happens to be combustible elements, where to place them, and when to explode said elements. So the question is, at what point are we going to wake up from this dream? At what point are we all going to say, man, I wonder if they're just fucking with us to make us look like the dumb wrestling fans that we are. But you know what, guys? so far, so good. I mean, I haven't really had any sort of issue with what has been shown the last 2 days on each show. I mean, SmackDown Live, they have captivating interest, basically concerning Shane McMahon and Kevin Owens. And now that Vince showed up and basically gave Kevin Owens room to roam, kind of opened Hell's Gates, if you will. I don't know of anybody to be nuts enough, crazy enough to be like, sure, let's open Pandora's box and let somebody who hates our family completely destroy us. But guess what? The pride of Mr. McMahon kind of foreshadows that. So as I'm pondering what to say next, because I'm kind of perplexed, ladies and gentlemen, this is extremely rare. Whenever you see Mr. McMahon on TV, you see him, he's like this big imposing figure, he's authoritative, he doesn't like to say the words yes very often to talent. I think Kevin Owens took full advantage of beating up the boss more so than Stone Cold Steve Austin. And that's saying something. So, if need be, what was the point of having Kevin Owens lay into the boss? Because Vince trusts Kevin, just like I believe Shane and everyone else in that company trust Kevin. It's great to see the dynamic of a heel truly shown, because the crowd, you know, the crowd that once booed Vince heavily is now cheering him. It varies, you know, they can boo him, they can cheer him, they can boo him, they can cheer him. I think a lot of people were sitting in that audience kind of shocked as to why Vince agreed. But there's something behind it. Is there some kind of twist? Who knows? I'm just going to watch it and enjoy the hell out of this. Simply because SmackDown Live is now game because they realize Asuka is going to Raw? No, because SmackDown Live has always been a unique brand. It always will be a unique brand, and it won't stop being a unique brand. Even when it had the likes of Alexa Bliss, Becky Lynch, when it had different people giving the show life, even if it was the women's division on Monday Night Raw for the longest time, which it still will be because, okay, the men's division's picking up a little bit with Braun Strowman completely destroying Brock Lesnar. I mean, going back to, some people say, oh, we're going back to the Attitude Era. You see one gig and we're going back to an era? No, guys. This is, I guess, classified by AJ Styles on one episode of SmackDown Live as the new era. We're going to pause for a brief 10 seconds for station identification. Hold tight. For those of you who are familiar with that theme, message us on Instagram at Wrestle_Radio for a chance to get to know Wrestle Radio, as we will be going to the Wrestling Revolver October 28th. And I thought I might play some familiarity for you. Anyways, back to the discussion at hand. Wrestling as a whole has amped up its game, period. Because no matter if you're watching Evolve, Ring of Honor, CWG, IWGP, it doesn't matter whatever is your favorite form of poison. All I can tell you is make sure you keep tuning in because Survivor Series is coming up. And who knows if Kevin Owens and Shane McMahon make it past Hell in a Cell, because there's some nasty, gnarly things that Shane McMahon will do to an individual during any kind of match. And now he has even more reason to get amped, more reason to get pissed. It's great. It's a great fucking build, right? Because now, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, of the wrestling jury, do you find WWE guilty of giving us a good show? Because if you do, I completely agree. And I'll admit, I watch some of New Japan. I do watch further than the Kenny Omega matches. For those of you doubting me, trust me, I get filled in about, you know, all of that from my broadcast colleague who happens to give me a fair dosage of all-around wrestling so that it makes me more aware. So, yes, I do realize that this podcast is heavy on WWE, but at least it's not dominant towards one particular side of wrestling, a.k.a. the heels. Now, if you think that shot fired at another podcast, you're completely fucking wrong. Some podcasts love to cover the heels because everyone loves a heel. You know why? Speaking from experience, it's easy. People like to cheer you, boo you. In the East Coast, they love to fucking cheer you because you're different. You're unique. You've never been seen before. You're nasty towards the crowd, and you don't give a fuck. What does this have anything to do with excellent shows? When you have a guy like Kevin Owens, who's a boss trust, what you're going to have is a boss who trusts in his worker that he can put forth the foot to kick his own ass and get ratings or kick his ass and not, you know, get the result and get the fans talking. So obviously, Vince got what he wanted, the company got what it wanted, and that was Kevin basically portrayed the perfect emblem of what a good heel can do. A good heel can not only get the booze flowing, but he can actually get fans with the IQ of 12 to fucking hate, write blogs, talk about it on a podcast, and tell their best friends, and their friends will laugh at them. You do realize this stuff is staged, right? That is the biggest fucking annoying word in wrestling and everything. You know why? Especially when people use terminology, and I will get to that in Off the Rails Uncensored Edition and also get wrapped up in you know, wrestling itself. It happens. That means they're a fan. They're enjoying it. So, what did Kevin Owens do? He got you to talk about him. He got you, you know, your interest. He got you involved. Oh yeah, there's. I'm gonna clarify this again because I bumped into a lot of fans on Instagram under Wrestle_Radio, and though you may claim that that's not true, it is because I've bumped into a few fans that have called in a few times just to clarify how dumb they really are. Some of them, not all of them. Some of them are cool. Some of them, okay. So I'm just gonna get to the party, ladies and gents, because you know me. I tend to ramble in a psychotic pattern, so I like to follow suit and discussing with you what I usually do best, okay? Sit back, enjoy the ride. Cult of personality. So with 39 minutes left in this round of Is Wrestling Good Decent, and also what the pet peeves are of mine, as you normally hear them, it's going to surprise you, just, you know, some insight, non-biased, by the way. So to start things off, I've decided to tell you all the reason why wrestling has gotten somewhat decent in the last two episodes, per se. Some people actually listen, whether you think they do or not. And sometimes podcasts can speak very, very loudly. Do they listen? Yes. Do they choose to tune us out? Yes. Because they know, they, wrestling companies, know exactly what they are capable of. And apparently the machine that is WWE is capable of producing a plethora of good shows. And if you don't believe what I'm telling you, just watch the last 2 to 3 weeks of the programming. When you have the Mae Young Classic going on, you had, you know, interesting, intriguing episodes made Monday Night Raw noteworthy again. Obviously, you know, the entire media circuitry, they know of John Cena. So let's focus on Monday Night Raw, if you will, my assessment on them. You have Roman Reigns, who is boring as fuck, on the mic. In the ring, you know, it's here and there. He's not a bad worker. It's just people nitpick because, oh, he beat Undertaker. That's one reason I'm going to hate on him. Oh, he beat this guy, so I'm going to hate on him. Guys, if there's one thing that I've noticed, well, I yawn because I said the name Roman Reigns. He's not a bad person. In-ring, yes, he needs work, some people say. Now, what makes John Cena the individual that everyone does not like? I'm not everyone, but I have observed, I've been around the guy. Is it enough to say, hey, I know this guy, so I'm going to form an opinion about him? That's kind of unfair. But after watching his career for 15 years, that automatically makes me the expert? Again, I used to say I hate him without having facts behind why. Unless he left me out in the pouring rain at an autograph signing, does that still give me reason to hate a man that I barely know and watch on TV and base my assumptions off that? No. I like what he's doing with the promos. It doesn't seem forced. It doesn't seem written for him. So, yeah, I kind of do enjoy what Cena is doing on the mic. Roman Reigns is slowly starting to get there. Not at snail's pace, but it's pretty decent. The build for Roman Reigns, John Cena, is better than what most people would have expected. So maybe a certain someone, Michael Hayes, knows what he's doing. It's not just him that we assume knows who writes, because they've got a team of writers pinned on one person. But after watching Table for Three, some of the perceptions by creative can be skewed because they're thinking in a way that will move the company on where the company should be going. And then it in turn screws the fans out of what we really wanted. But so far, so good. You know, nothing negative to say about the Cena Reigns dude, except for that I don't really give a fuck. I just want to see these two beat the hell out of each other. and say that at No Mercy in 2 weeks, we see a decent fight, okay? So there's that. Now, moving on to the other section of, or sections of Monday Night Raw. First, you see an advertisement for Asuka coming back. I can tell you this right now. Asuka being, included onto the main section of Monday Night Raw, it's going to shake things up. I'll tell you why. Because I would love to see Nia Jax and Asuka one more time. As crazy as that sounds, guess what, folks? Asuka versus Nia Jax was a decent match. You think, my God, I cannot believe Asuka and Nia are going at it again. At it again. You never know. You could see Asuka versus Emma, and that would be an awesome match, depending on which Emma decides to show up. Okay. So, what match kind of sparked my attention and my friends? The Miz and Enzo Amore. I'm just going to go out on a limb and say, I don't know what Enzo is thinking by saying the words, I'm going to apologize when that child's born, but you may be asking yourself, who is your daddy? That was funny as hell. And yes, people are sold on The Miz and what he said during his promo. I don't care. I mean, The Miz has been told, oh, you're the same. Oh, you haven't changed. Yeah, that's true. He hasn't changed his theme in 6 years, but, I mean, his mouth is still filthy, and my God. I just want to say that Monday Night Raw, for the very first time in years, aside from the Raws after WrestleMania, aside from the Raws after Survivor Series or Royal Rumble or whichever it is, the show is interesting. Why? Because you tune in to watch it, because, you know, you watch for this reason, you watch for one person, doesn't matter. Show had elements. It involved, sexual innuendos. It involved insults about real-life events like Roman Reigns failing a drug test. I mean, sure, John Cena has to dig up something from Roman's past, but you can tell there's some sincerity behind this hatred between John Cena and between Roman Reigns, because they're both bitches, according to one of you that just sent that to me on Wrestle Radio. You want me to say your name, too, because you don't give a fuck? Are you drunk? I'm just curious. Okay, Joyce. From Rochester, New York. All right. You heard it first. They're both bitches. And that's the bottom line because you said so. All right. Getting some interesting folks late nights. All right. So, SmackDown Live, you see Carmella come out with a leash on James Ellsworth. I'm very intrigued now. And it's funny. It's not, ha-ha, oh my God, this is perverted, kind of funny. But interesting, you're seeing Carmella be the boss of James Ellsworth. It's been a minute. But I'll tell you this right now. This reminds me of Goldust and Luna Vachon, God rest her soul. Remember when Goldust came out with that gag in his mouth? Stone Cold Steve Austin threw him in the porta-john, the porta-potty. See, I can find stuff and reminisce about the past, because SmackDown Live, let's be honest, it was lagging, just coming up with stories or builds between Shinsuke Nakamura and Randy Orton, whoop-de-doo, you know, that rivalry is interesting somewhat. So now, Hell in a Cell, I believe every match should be a Hell in a Cell, but they would not rather risk injury with the current superstars that they have now. I mean, come on. You're putting one of the commissioner, yeah, the commissioner for this, in a position in which you think he has no chance in hell, no pun intended. Now that Kevin Owens has added that stipulation where he, if provoked by McMahon, can clearly harm them. So that means if Stephanie slaps him, he can literally pop up powerbomb her on the stage, off the side of the stage, in the ring, doesn't matter. The McMahons literally were a gold mine, you know, for beating up. Whether it be, you know, in the ring, out of the ring, in the backstage area, because it's brilliant. It gets people talking. So, let's give them something to talk about. You know, the Mae Young Classic. 32 women competing, you know, 13 different countries. One of the things that stood out, or one of the competitors that stood out to me, was Piper Niven. Love her to death. Oh, my goodness. I also like Kairi Sane, obviously, not because she's, you know, the winner, but because every one of her matches, you think, my God, that's got to be it. Especially with Bianca Belair, Toni Storm, everybody. I believe the term goes, don't count her out just yet. She went up against Shayna Baszler, and I was, you know, I'm going to say this. I was surprised that Shayna Baszler showed a semblance of sportsmanship. Okay? Because not often that you see somebody who you hate show any sign of, you know, sportsmanship at all, but she gave Kairi Sane a hug at the end of the match, which means I got to retract some of my statements about Baszler. I'm not going to retract the fact that she's, you know, terrible in the ring. She just flat out reminds me of a female Brock Lesnar, and that's not a good thing. But, however, she did show a great sign of sportsmanship. At the end of the match, she hugged Kairi Sane, which made me think, huh, I feel like a total asshole right now. So my apologies, Shayna, if I said some shitty things about you earlier. I got caught up in the heat of the moment because I'm a wrestling fan. I will be brutally honest with people, if you suck or if you don't. So that's just, you know, how I felt about her, folks. I mean, I'm not going to retract the statements about how she doesn't take bumps properly, because if you look at her matches, Shayna Baszler's matches with Mercedes Martinez, she barely sold anything at all. And that's to be expected when an MMA fighter transitions into wrestling, because they have to remember this stuff, that, you know, wrestling that you call wrestling deals a lot with timing. If your timing is god-awful, then it's going to look like the drizzling shit in the ring. Is this being negative after just shining out a positive moment? Yeah, you can bet your ass it is. Because I've got some things I got to get off my chest, ladies and gentlemen, in this regards to, you know, different types of fans. I've gone over this a million times, but seeing how some of you are being a bit lethargic on Wrestle Underscore Radio, I understand it's late. from what I've learned from a good mentor, or I shouldn't say mentor, a good advice giver, is that the fans are everything. So if you insult them, they're not going to listen. If you tell them, you know, they are the reason why you do this, and you're sincere about it, they will come to you, not you having to come to them. Some instances, guys, I'm going to discuss this with you. Certain fans are stuck in their ways, and this is what bugs me. whenever you get into a discussion, it always ends up being a biased opinion argument about how one superstar annoys the hell out of you, about how this match was great, but it needed this. You don't have to be a worker to know what a quality match is, but when you start using terminologies in front of former workers themselves, myself included, I'm not anybody special, but when you use terminologies, please refrain from doing so in front of workers. Please do not use their story builds when you are trying to get an autograph from them. That is the most rhetorical thing to do, unless they like being in character, like a Bray Wyatt. You know, Big E was definitely interesting. I'm talking about my meetings with these guys. I didn't seen all of them in the back beforehand, guys. So they're just normal folk that make more money than us because they wrestle in a ring. So my perception is this, and also my opinion. Perception of a pro wrestler is somebody that can be heel or baby face. No, it's somebody that can entertain and consistently do so without having to worry. So worry about, oh my gosh, they think this of me. Oh my gosh, you know, I didn't take that bump correctly according to that podcast. Podcast though. So what I'm saying to you all is I've gone and done some research, and that is, well, not, I didn't have to research this. You want to hear something, folks? For the last year, I've been a part of Wrestle Radio, and I've had, you know, we've had some interesting guests, like, well, I'll just say it. Danny Cage, Amaya Jade, Dusty Gold, Graham Bell. We've had Gil Rogers just recently on our show, and also Dart Allen. We've had Luke Roberts multiple times. They have graced our presence with, you know, their stories being told. And you guys, God bless you all. I love listening to fans and their stuff that they tell us online, because you guys are the reason why we do this. You guys are the reason why I get up in the morning and say, man, I can't wait till these guys listen to what I have to say. It's going to be badass. So, understand this. I relay what I know and what I feel, and I say it sincerely. Some of you may understand, some of you may not. So what I'm telling you all is this. If you ever get to be in the professional wrestling business and see it from the other side instead of just behind the guardrail trying to, you know, duck and dodge and hide, you know, from the police cars and wait till they leave and then get the superstars' autographs at MSG. It's a lot of fun, but I will fair warn you. Wrestling is like a marriage. You love it, hate it, then you love it again. So it can either work for you if you put in the time and the effort to give the promoter what he or she wants of you and serve the business, or you can bitch and gripe about how the business did you wrong and how bitter you can be. That's not And I know some of you are being smartasses right now, saying that's what you do now. What are you talking about? That's funny. Yeah, I was a manager for almost 2 years. Was, you know, being the fact that I found podcasting as my new path. So to answer your question, Henry, podcasting is definitely something that if you want to look into, it's $39 a month on blogtalkradio.com. And if you're going to put in the credit card information, I suggest that you keep that info private. Again, I get all the crazies at nighttime. Don't tell me your credit card information. That's nuts. Just put it away. Anyways, as I was saying, you learn over the time, the course of time, of being involved in the wrestling business. Guess who I keep on learning from? And he's probably going to be sick of hearing me say this about him. Brutal Bob Evans is the best gentleman, one of the best, to talk about where are you going in the wrestling business. What are you doing to amp up your game as a manager, wrestler, or referee? Are you just sitting down feeling sorry for yourself? Or are you going to as many camps or as many seminars and taking in full advantage of learning from different guys? Because the truth of the matter is, I get the pleasure of learning some new stuff even when I'm at a different promotion. And I'm happy to see family member, well, the wrestling family member, Kurt Gannon, succeed. You know, your past does not define you. And if people don't want to jump on board with what you're doing, folks, they're not your true friends. They're what you call people, you know, run an agenda. That's why you play it smart, you don't play it safe. Play it safe, okay, then you're not a risk taker and you never know what you're capable of until you actually go for it. And also, getting fans. That's another topic that I want to... You earn them. You don't necessarily just gravitate towards you unless you got that natural gift to gab. There comes a point in time, you know, when you get frustrated with somebody, but you stick with them. So I'm just going to go out here on a limb and just say the following. It's been a minute since my broadcast colleague has been on air with me. But, you know, getting a new job, starting a family, that changes things. So I'm going to discuss with you all how family life can be affected very briefly. You know, things can turn around. I want to get you guys' thoughts on a Thursday showing. I want to, you know, so it's not a good idea. Okay. All right. Five of you, you know, sent in your messages. That's great. The reason I ask is because the host with the most wants to start, you know, a separate brand of show that is on Thursday. And I know he's got a quick following, you know, from Dynamo Pro and, you know, various other wrestling organizations. So maybe he could do like an indie show section. I don't know. What did you guys take on? Yay or nay? Yay? Okay, nay. I'm reading the question. Give me a second. I agree because so here's the deal. When you deal with problems amongst other people in wrestling, here's the best advice I can give you. Well, not advice, but thought. Don't just walk away. If you're like me, who cannot resist slamming another group into the ground and smile about doing so, because I know I have justification to do so. Here's what I'm going to tell you. If you're having an issue with a group of guys, confront them. Make sure they ain't a bunch of pussies. Then what you do is, if they don't, or if they're not so receptive of you after that leaves, then you make the same mistake I did, which was stay in a group in through which you knew it was a bad idea, but yet you try to force the issue, you try to force how you feel. So some people believe that they're a great psychiatrist, they're fucking lying. So whatever your trainer is telling you, dude, I would make sure that you're 100% sure that you want to stick with that school. If you don't like it, dude, why are you wasting your money? It's what you, you know, you get what you pay for. So whenever you do your research for a school, please think twice. Okay? That's pretty much all I'm going to tell you is, please weigh your decision. I mean, dude, okay, I can't sit here all night and give out words of wisdom because I'm not the guy you should be going to. You should be going to guys like Danny Cage or Danny Warren or, you know, various other guys that have been through these seminars and through these camps, okay? You're in Jersey. What the hell is wrong with you? Go to Danny's school. Danny Cage. Anyway, this should be an open line, dude. Do you want to call in? Oh, your girl's awake. Well, you can't call into a wrestling show. Yeah, I know it's 1 a.m. It's crazy. Okay, so yeah, this is kind of funny. I run into a bunch of these questions. My God, I do late shows. This is so awesome. Okay, well, you know what? Okay. Because the reason why I say it's okay, dude, is because, look, if you're asking me questions, if you have problems with a dude that you work with in-ring, maybe you should talk to him before your match and plan out stuff, rather than, you know, hold it in and then become a complete jackass. I'll admit, some of the times that I was with a former group of folks that I was, but nothing. You gotta swallow your pride sometimes, move on, move forward, no matter how bad the guy is. So if he's terrible, okay, so we're talking, he doesn't know a few, you know, like I said, it all depends on the training that this guy went through. If his training was shit, then that's why your match is the drizzling shits. This is Mike from Indianapolis, Indiana. Do you happen to have the name? No, I'm not going to do that. Anyway, so as I was saying, to continue on the discussion, guys, along from the answering questions, it's Wrestle_Radio or BTrain05000 at Instagram. So, yes, when you have problems in wrestling, whether it be family-related, whether it be host-to-host related in podcasting, just talk it out, man. It's better than just holding it in. And you know what? Suggesting my podcast colleague can do, he's been attached to this for almost 9 years. And he'll tell you technically it's longer because he's just like good old JR, can tell, you know, a story like anybody else. He's a very good person, so I want you guys to message me on Wrestle Radio, Facebook.com. You know, we receive messages, we respond. So, trust me, we will, okay? I'm going to leave on that note, seeing as how it is 1:10 in the morning, and I have work tomorrow, folks. But throughout all this madness, the point I'm trying to make is wrestling's gotten a lot better in the last few days, the last few weeks. Things are starting to pick up, and it'll be even better. Roska joins Raw, Kevin Owens, Shane McMahon. Good times, folks, good times. Enjoy your weekend, folks. Love you all. Thank you so much to the fans who tune in and listen this late. Thank you, Australia. Thank you, Norway. Thank you, Toronto, Canada. All of Canada, for that matter. France, England, I'm sorry we haven't been mentioning you guys in the UK. All of you, we love you so much. Ireland, Scotland, we love you so much. Thank you. Taiwan, Japan. It sounds like a Grammy speech, but thank you, folks. Enjoy the weekend. I'm going to bed. Have a good night.
A cult of personality.